Meeting. Today is July 17, 2012, time 6:35 p.m. Everybody please rise for a Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're going to start with a presentation tonight. 2013 Earl Pride Scholarship Award recipient. Good evening.
Good evening, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board, Ms. Nino and Mr. During. My name is Diane Ha. I'm with the Department of Public Works normally. This evening, I'm here representing the Earl Pride Scholarship presentations. It's my pleasure this evening to award those. To give a little background on the scholarship, a county resident, Mr. Earl Pride, passed away in 1988, and he left the bulk of his estate to the county with the stipulation that it was to be dispersed as the county employees saw fit. A survey of county employees was conducted, and they came up with 10 different options. The idea that was selected was to establish a scholarship. The scholarships are for higher education, and they're open to all county employees and their dependents. The first scholarships were awarded in 1994, and in the 19 years since then, we've distributed over $42,000 worth of scholarships to either employees or dependents of those employees. The endowment currently stands at about $53,000, so we're looking forward to being able to continue to provide scholarships. I would like to acknowledge the work of your appointees to the committee and publicly thank them this evening. They're Christine Applegate, Greg Gaudio, Bruce Merchant, Marianne Rucker, Amy Taylor, and Michelle Gutierrez. As in the past, the applicants we've received, or the applications we received were outstanding. We received 24 individual applications, and the applicants were scored in three areas. They were grade point average, community involvement, and a personal essay. And this year we selected three individuals for scholarships. The 2012 scholarship recipients have exhibited outstanding academic performance, and they've displayed concern for their community. We're going to present them in alphabetical order, and I'll give a short bio on each of the recipients, and then they'll come forward at the same time. Our first recipient, Philip Goodwin, graduated from Johansson High with a GPA of 4.47. He'll be attending St. Mary's College of California, where he plans on pursuing a career in education. Philip is active in his school and community. He's a member of the Boy Scouts, and he achieved Eagle Scout in February of 2010. Philip has volunteered at Harold General Baptist Church, participating in their Vacation Bible School program. He also held leadership roles with the Associated Student Body and other academic clubs. Philip's mother, Julie Goodwin, is employed with the assessor's office. The second recipient is Leanna Jasek Rizdal. She's a graduate of Pittman High School, where she maintained a GPA of 4.38. Leanna will be attending McDaniel College in Maryland. And while at Pittman, Leanna participated in student government. She was co-founder and co-president of Pittman's Journalism Club. Leanna not only participated in competitive swimming, she also gave back to the community by volunteering at a week-long clinic where the goal was to teach children to swim. Leanna's mother, Kirsten Jessica Crystal, is employed by Behavioral Health and Recovery Services. Our third recipient, Maria Lopez, is a county employee. She's working at the Paradise Medical Office. Maria is currently a medical assistant and with plans of earning her nursing degree. Maria is also a member of the Flying Samaritans, a volunteer organization that operates medical clinics in Baja California, Mexico. She travels to Mexico twice a year to work at the eye and ENT clinics there. And Maria is currently attending Modesto Junior College. The committee wishes each of these recipients continued success. And while they're making their way forward, I would also like to thank this board for your support and for allowing us the opportunity to acknowledge these outstanding individuals. Thank you.
Well, first of all, I think it's important to thank Earl Pride, even though he's not around any longer. This is where this pot of money came from, is from a generous donation, and I think our employees chose a great way to keep his memory alive and continue to do great things. What I have in my hand are certificates of congratulating you for your selection on the scholarship, but more importantly, there's an envelope inside of your scholarship, so I will hand these out. And congratulations to each and every one of you, and I'll ask if anybody has anything that they'd like to add.
I just want to say thank you to the board for helping us and having this scholarship available to Stanislaus County employees and their children, because I know my parents are especially thankful for the scholarship, because college is not cheap these days. So I just want to say thank you for your help and support.
Thank you for the Earl Pride Scholarship Committee for all the work that they put in. I really appreciate it. And thank you to the Board of Supervisors and for Stanislaus County for making this available and for all of your support. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you for considering us for the scholarship. I think it's really good that, you know, we have this, and thank you very much.
Next on the agenda tonight is public comment period. It's a time where audience members can address this Board of Supervisors on any issue that is not on tonight's agenda within our purview. I do have a couple specific requests to speak, and I'll start with those. I'll start with Maisie Avila. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, board members. Chief Secretary's Office, congratulations on your position, by the way. My name is Maisie Avila. I'm here on the behalf of SEIU Local 521 represented employees. Over the course of the last couple of months, SEIU Local 521 County Chapter Bargaining Team, along with Stanislaus County Bargaining Team, ran in what we believe was good faith and hoped to establish a fair and equitable memorandum of understanding, known by many as an MOU, for the represented employees of SEIU Local 521. During our last negotiation session, it was our understanding of SEIU Local 521 bargaining team that we had reached a tentative agreement for which SEIU Local bargaining team employees could continue to support the county in supporting the balancing of the budget. It was the understanding by assisting the county in balancing the budget, the county's bargaining team chief negotiator, Jody Hayes, stated he fully understood that the employees would not agree to any permanent wage deductions and agreed to return in 2014 to begin negotiations to return the 6% wage deductions to the employees. Based on that understanding, a tentative agreement was developed, voting locations were developed, employees were notified, and voting took place. The agreement was ratified and based on the presented information from the last negotiation session. The Board of Supervisors agenda was placed on viewing for your county intranet, for which the employees went online and they learned that county management is attempting to make the 6% deduction permanent according to your county's document online. This is not what the intended agreement says or its intent to be. SEIU Local 521 bargaining team members made it crystal clear that they would not support any permanent wage deduction. The employees are angry. They're feeling like the county has lied to them. They simply feel that the county never intends to restore any portion of the previous money deductions for which they reasoned and they agreed to bargain, and they bargained with other unions and bargaining units, and they making a statement that it would save jobs while they continued to hire new employees. If the county is not willing to honor their own agreements made with other bargaining units that employees represent, that are represented, why in fact should the employees continue to support the county? We want a commitment from you stating that you would do whatever you need to do to return the monies to your employees. Simply enough's enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Moving on to the next speaker in the public comment, and I apologize if I get this wrong name, the first name wrong. Rosinda or Rosandra Vieira?
Good evening. My name is Rosalinda Vieira.
Sorry.
I usually go by Rose. It's like you probably received an email from me. Right now I'm part of the Latino Community Roundtable Backpack Committee. We're working here in Modesto to try to raise over 500 backpacks for children that do not have backpacks. It's for primarily for the South and West Side Modesto locations. We have several drop-off locations here in Modesto. Boy Scout locations, U.S. Banks, we're working with them, as well as the Modesto City Schools District office. We're trying to get everybody's help, and we're hoping maybe you guys can maybe come out. We're on the 27th of this month. We're going to be distributing the backpacks. Last year, we had well over 1,000 kids looking for backpacks, as well as their parents. And we're inviting you to support us as maybe come out, meet with the public as well at the backpack distribution on July 27th at the Episcopal Jubilee Church at 821 Lassen Road in Modesto. All right. Thank you.
Ramon Bermudez.
Good evening, gentlemen and lady. My name is Ramon Bermudez. I come from Riverbank. And I gathered some information about what I call obscene salaries in the county of Stanislaus. I hope you don't take it too personally, but it is personal. Being that I saw in the newspaper about a month ago that there were cuts to our program that we have in Riverbank and Stanislaus County in different cities for the elderly to receive a meal a day, which comes out to about $4.43 per person per day. Yet, those who were under 80 years old during the month of June, in order to readjust them on their funds that were cut because of 23% increase in the last 6 months before June, then they were not delivered meals. What is the dignity of these elderly? I'm glad I'm not at that age yet, otherwise I'll be here the following day or your following meeting, and I'll be demanding that you return my dignity. I'm saying about obscene salaries, because I don't know how do you come up with 94 people receiving a yearly salary of $10,871. The top payments that you get here, executives, managers, call them what you will, with whatever title, that's obscene salary that you're receiving. I would like to know to the person that put the retirement, he has over $100,000 a year. That's a lot of money for one person, for one family, I'm sorry to tell you that. Yet, we're cutting the elderly that receive one meal a day, one measly meal, I go for three. Monday, Tuesday, and Thursdays to the community center in Riverbank. And they were thinking about cutting those to maybe one day or two. Isn't that cruel? Isn't that immoral? I don't have to quote your salaries, but if you would like to, I have one at 10 here for the undersheriff of step three rate, $130,811 a year. I don't know if he has started with, not so much, $104,000. $644 in step one rate. If I make a payment in a house, if I make a payment in a car, if I make a payment with insurance, all that stuff, they don't even take it from that salary. They add it to that on the so-called perks and benefits. I could see it maybe, okay, he has to make the expenses, but they don't even make the expenses for gas, for a car, for a vehicle. There was not too long ago, a man from the sheriff's department that was in Monterey, in the way here, he got into an accident. What is he doing with a county car so far away? Can he use his own car? I think he makes enough money to use his own vehicle. I don't know how many more cases might have been out, but that one died off. I ask you, I beg of you, touch your heart for a moment and say, maybe I should count my salary personally and voluntarily 30%. And I still have plenty of money to live on the taxpayers' money. That's nobody else's. Your salaries and all of these executives that I gather here, 94 people. I'm not telling you lies. I got it from the records here. $10,871,000 a year. The lady that I spoke first here is talking about the employees of the county not having enough money. I'm sorry, lady, and county employees. You cannot make any more than that. They gave me a figure here for the sheriff's salary and another one of the executive officers that is making $172,369. Oops. The note actually says $181,438, a difference of $9,068. How does that come about, of getting a raise? What else is he doing that is so unusual from 2 years ago or 3 years ago? I'm sorry, but it's a very same thing job. It's like when I was in the Army. We get the same job no matter how much we got into danger. We get to do the job, we get to do the job with what we got. And that's the way I've been looking at the police work. Sheriff, state, highway patrol, federal, whatever you want to call it. It's against criminals that you are. That's who we were, against an enemy. And you have to receive the same salary. Please, give those funds back to the elderly, to the children that are undernourished. Because it's the moral thing to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ramon. Anybody else wish to address this board? Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, supervisors, ladies and gentlemen, members of the audience. Now, I'd really like to invite everybody out to the Stanislaus County Fair. It's a beautiful time. The weather is unbelievable. 82 in Modesto. The people out there are cordial. The staff is unbelievable. Security smiles. The lines are short. Euphoria all around. And that just wasn't because I went to the Foreigner concert, okay? It's great out there. It's not expensive. Tomorrow is the free day, I believe. So it's time to get up and go. Now, the weekend's going to heat back up a little bit. You hate to say that ahead of time, but it's important for people to get out there, see the exhibits, eggs out there. It's great to see the kids for 4-H, all the different of the plants, the petting zoo for the children. You just got to love it. Even the Republicans are out there. In any case, I invite everybody to go out. And I wanted to commiserate, secondly, with the board tonight because of your unexpected fluctuations in your cash flow, so to speak. You know, I know you were expecting a $1.75 million check to be delivered. And unless I'm mistaken, you haven't got it yet. And I feel bad about that. Because we've wasted over 5 years now waiting for this man to come up with a single job that doesn't get attached to a lawyer. So, you know, I'm urging you, in most businesses, if you don't get the check, you say, hey, you're out of here, dude. We don't give him an extra 30 days. You know, there's a reason there was a deadline, I thought. But, you know, I'm just a layman. What do I know? But anyway, I feel bad that you didn't get the 1.75. We all want those jobs. But you know, you bet on the wrong nag. But that's beside the point. And secondly, you know, just a few weeks back, you had an unexpected outflow that a lot of people haven't heard about, and I was surprised. And that's when you were forced to cut a check for over $1 million because we had a sheriff's officer that decided to drive his own vehicle, pulling a horse trailer, uninsured. And because of that, instead of his insurance picking up the tab, I'm sure ours did. And I feel bad about that. I don't think that, you know, we should have to cut those checks because it just raises your insurance. I don't believe a county has an insurance company that says, if you use us, we're not going to raise the rate. That doesn't happen. So anyway, I'm sorry about that. It's unfortunate. But I do really, one more time, go to the Stanislaus County Fair. You will have a good time. The rides are great. The lines are short. Don't forget, you know, the only guy that was irritated there that night, I've got to tell this story, it's just a short one. He's the guy that you have to get the beer wristbands. I only had one. I'm not even talking to a police officer trying to claim that. I only had one because I was covering the concert. But I said, do I really have to have one? Thinking, you know, I don't look like I'm 21. And he says, yeah, you do. I said, hey, I'm sorry, dude. Just give me the band. I'm like, that's fine, no problem. But it was a great experience. I hadn't been out there in a couple of years. I'll own up to it. So if you haven't gone, go. And again, $1.75 million? That's sad. Please, do something about it. Thank you very much.
Anybody else wish to address this board? Okay, moving on to consent calendars. Any Board of Supervisors wish to pull anything off consent calendar? Anybody in the audience wish to comment on any consent calendar item, items on the agenda marked with an asterisk? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for action.
Motion to approve the consent calendar.
I have a motion.
I will second that.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item passes 5-0. CEO Nino?
I would like one of our negotiators that was at the labor table, Jody Hayes, to respond to Ms. Avila's comments.
Thank you, CEO Nino, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board, and County Council. I do want to just make a couple of comments, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak before you this evening. I would have to politely disagree with some of the comments that were made during public comment regarding the outcome of our negotiated agreement with the SEIU Local 521. We have prepared a board report for you that was just approved by the board on the consent calendar, and the board report includes a summary of the tentative agreements reached by the parties at the table, and I think it's important for everyone to understand and the public to understand that the negotiated agreement has been signed by both parties. Both parties elect a chief negotiator. Both parties reach that agreement in good faith and to communicate that agreement to the respective to the respective members for ratification. This agreement has been approved, presumably as written and signed off by the union membership that was communicated to us last week. And tonight it's before you to be approved by the Board of Supervisors and has just been. I do want to just make a couple of comments on process and some of the specific things that were mentioned. One of the things that was mentioned is that this board item includes permanent, or the word permanent, wage reductions. And the word permanent is nowhere in this agenda item. I just want to mention that at one point we had proposals on the table that used the word permanent to describe wage reductions. However, we recognized that our wage reductions would be in place during the term of the agreement and it would be subject to negotiation at the end of the agreement to determine where they went from there. So the word permanent was removed and it's not in this agenda item. So the representation that this agenda item has permanent or the word permanent in it is not accurate if you read the item. I also just want to mention that the information that was represented to you tonight came to my attention first just a couple of hours ago or a few hours ago via email. So I contacted the chief negotiator on behalf of SEIU who negotiated this agreement and asked them if we needed to discuss any differences of interpretation or issues with the contract itself. And his answer was no, we have an agreement. Some members are upset and confused by the words in the agenda item. I took that representation to mean that on behalf of SEIU, there's no misinterpretation of what was agreed to and that the parties would move forward with the agreement. At the end of the day, what we signed at the bargaining table, and I have a copy here if anyone's confused by it, is what will be addressed in the contract with our labor group. And there's no confusion whatsoever on behalf of the county about what was negotiated and what was agreed to.
See you, Nina.
In addition to that, I would like to thank Ms. Avila, along with her bargaining team, for participating in good faith bargaining with the county. We have just one more labor agency that we're outstanding with, but I thank all the employees who are making those necessary concessions to meet our budget restrictions and obligations for San Luis County. So thank you very much.
And if it'd be permissible, I think what she wanted to hear is that as the economy rebounds, we come back to the bargaining table at the end of this agreement and negotiate from that point on. And that's my understanding. We come back at the end of 2 years and talk about it again. So it's not that we never intend to. It's just we don't know what the economy is going to do in the next 2 years. So, all right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, we're past the time of 6:35, our scheduled matter, a public hearing to consider the annexation of territory into the Denayer Highway Lighting District and the levy of a special benefit assessment. Public Works. Good evening.
Good evening, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board, CEO Nino, and County Council Doring. My name is Mike Wilson. I'm with Special Districts with Stanislaus County Public Works Department. The agenda item tonight is to request conduct a public hearing to consider the annexation of territory into the Denayer Highway Lighting District and the levy of an annual benefit assessment to pay for the street lighting services those territories will receive. Staff would like to remind everyone that a deadline to submit or change an assessment ballot is the conclusion of this public hearing. Owners of parcels within the boundary of the proposed annexation areas have until the conclusion of this public hearing to submit or change their ballots. They may do so at the table at the back of this room. A representative from Public Works is available to assist them. If the staff recommendations are approved, the clerk of the board requested that I announce that the assessment ballots have remained sealed and will be opened and tabulated in public view tomorrow, July 18, 2012, at 1 p.m. in Conference Room 6709 of this building located at 1010 10th Street Place here in Modesto, California. Chairman O'Brien, at this time, staff is ready to respond to any questions the board may have for us.
Any questions from board members? Seeing none.
Okay, at this time then I request that you open the public hearing.
At this point, I'll open the public hearing, asking if anybody wishes to come forward to speak on this item. Anybody wishes to make a vote or change a vote? Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing.
Then I request that you approve the five recommendations.
All right. Bring it back to the board. Any comments or questions? Looking for a motion.
Don't move the issue.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you.
All right, going on to item B8, approval to award construction contract for Honor Farm jail bed replacement project to DD Construction Incorporated and related actions.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doring. Patricia Hill Thomas of the County Executive Office. We're pleased to bring recommendations to you tonight. Joining me at the table is Mr. Mark Lozier, who's been instrumental in the success of this project, and I'm going to introduce Sheriff Adam Christensen to begin our presentation.
Good evening, Sheriff.
Good evening, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board, CEO Nino. Always a great opportunity again to come before the board with good news, especially in light of what we've been through in the past 3.5 years with the economy. Here we are again with a great project. But first I want to thank Patty Hill Thomas and her team, Capital Projects team, Captain Bill Duncan and the Sheriff's team. It really is truly amazing what we can get accomplished by working together. But this project tonight is about the critical public safety infrastructure. Remember, it's not just beds, but it's also about programming space. We believe at the Sheriff's Office that programming for vocational, rehabilitative, and educational opportunities are important to continue to try to control recidivism. But more importantly, we're about to embark on a partnership, of course, with your approval, with DD Construction, that'll bring local economic stimulus, local jobs, and again, invest in critical public safety infrastructure. As you know, we lost beds to an unfortunate fire at the Honor Farm, but now here we are today getting ready to embark on a project where we replace those beds, and we invest our money wisely on the Hackett Road campus, and ultimately get out of the honor form, shut that down as it's no longer cost-effective, thus saving money and really becoming more efficient in our delivery of services to the community. This is, of course, a first step leading to another big project in partnership with the state, where we'll add another 456 beds, but we'll leave that for another time and another discussion. Success is really about teamwork, and we have a great team, and I'm really very impressed with the work that's been accomplished thus far, and I think you will be as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. We are pleased to be here tonight. Out of something bad comes something very good, and that's the optimist in all of us. I would just like to take a moment and join the sheriff, and I'm going to start with the people in this room, several, including the board, for your vigilance in the county seeking an appropriate insurance settlement from the loss of the fire. I'd also like to thank Mr. Doring and Mr. Jody Hayes, the county's risk manager, for their undying efforts in that regard. I, too, would like to recognize the team, the sheriff's team led by Sheriff Christensen. In our audience tonight, Captain Bill Duncan, Lieutenant Greg Clifton, and several members who aren't here, and the members of the Capital Projects team who are working harder than ever with many more projects to build this year and the coming years than we ever imagined, particularly for public safety facilities. With us tonight is Don Feemister, with me is Mark Lozier, and Tim Fedorchek. We do have a great team, and we're being challenged every moment to move that big $80 million and that $23 million companion project around, so we're thrilled to start tonight. We're going to do just a little bit of history because this is significant. As your board well knows, in June of 10, there was a fire that destroyed the barracks of the Honor Farm, and you can't say enough how beautifully the sheriff's staff performed to make sure that there were no injuries from this very serious fire. As a result of that, and that facility that's older than most of us, it was interesting to go through an insurance settlement process that recognized what it would take to replace that lost facility for a modern and secure jail. Your board authorized the finalization of that settlement a little more than a year ago. You authorized us to bring a fine design team in Lyonakis. You accepted that design after seeing a fair level of detail. You approved the plans and specifications. And what's important about this is you set the course with your approval of our recommendations to start to move from having three different jail locations, which are very costly, to two different jail locations. By implementing this plan, the Honor Farm will be able to be closed. In May, just a few weeks ago, you authorized us to issue the RFP for the other kinds of services that are required, code-tested requiring services, and you authorized seven general contractors to be requalified. This picture just gives you a reminder that the new Honor Farm, essentially the replacement, will be constructed at the county's Public Safety Center, which is our major location intended for all of the future for decades and decades to come for our public safety facilities. And you can see that the new facility is kind of in that light green, and above it is the existing white minimum security facility. So it will be adjacent to the existing minimum security. We were very pleased on bid day to get four base bids. DD Construction was the lowest bidder in the audience tonight. In the back of the room is Mr. Steve DD, the owner of DD Construction, and Mr. Paul Bickford, the project manager with DD. We were pleased and would have loved to have awarded this contract to all of the contractors that bid it. They're all great contractors who competitively bid the process. But we sit in a blind bid room, nine of us did. We don't know who the contractors are. We look at the facts, we look at the numbers, and we look at the alternates to determine what would be the best set of options to recommend to your board. And our project architect, Maynard Feist, joined us on that day. As you can see, the bids ranged from $8.3 million to $9.3 million, and we had four alternatives that would add some function and functionality, but we use additive alternatives with your approval to make sure if the bids come in over, we can control the price and be sure that we can deliver the project. Our recommendation to you tonight is to award the construction contract to Didi Construction of Lodi, California. The lump sum of $8.582 million. That's their low base bid and the additive of three of the alternates, one, two, and three, for that total. I am very pleased to tell you that a year and a half ago, we asked and estimated to set this construction budget at $8.6 million. So we are under budget and we are in perfect condition financially to get the kind of quality and secure facility that we imagined. I'm pleased to remind you, I know you all know this, that we don't pick our bidders, we don't pick our contractors. Didi Construction has a fine history of construction in our community and in this region, and they were the successful contractors for the Tom Mayfield Animal Services Facility about a year and a half ago that your board dedicated, and before then the Empire Regional Water Safety Training Center in Empire. So we've had great success, and we appreciate their commitment to excellence, to being very cost conscious and beating the schedule. I wanted to show you just one of the pictures of the ground floor interior of the new facility, to use that as a backdrop to remind you the other part of this plan. And I really credit the sheriff and his team for being conscientious about how to move forward to close the honor farm, to maximize the use of the AB 109 realignment funding, and essentially remind your board that we will simply be transferring the existing staff, now funded through the Community Corrections Plan, from the Honor Farm to the Public Safety Center when we open this new facility. And I'll remind you that this is a 12-month construction project, and with your, not to be presumptuous, but hoping that you would approve this tonight, our kickoff meeting is tomorrow afternoon. So our intent is to get this project built, to build quickly, and to be coordinated with the next jail facilities that will be funded both by the state and the county. There are 16.5 staff positions allocated to our present Honor Farm staffing, and they will transfer to the Public Safety Center upon the successful completion of this project. Tonight, we also ask you to finally establish the full construction budget. When we talked with you through the insurance process, we talked about a $12 million project, and tonight we ask you to establish that project budget at $11.99 million. That includes all the other expenses associated with a project, and it includes something we never imagined that we could fit in there, and that will be a full upgrade to the honor or to the generator and emergency power system at the Public Safety Center. So that added advantage by working this project the way it has been worked is really, really good for the county and in the interest of ensuring that those secure facilities are always available. We have 7 recommendations to you tonight to award the contract to the low bidder, Didi Construction, at $8.582685 million. Authorize me to issue the notice to proceed upon the bonds and insurance, which are on their way, to initiate the project in August in terms of starting the construction, and to negotiate all of the necessary contracts and work orders within your board's approved budget. You can use our existing change order authority up to $25,000 to authorize the contract with Twining Laboratories for code-required testing services as a result of the competitive selection process, and to authorize execute a contract with Miller Pozzoni and Associates for the remaining work needed to bring that Honor Farm bed replacement project the emergency power it needs. This recommendation in a sum not to exceed $65,400 is also the result of a competitive selection process. And I'll tell you, on behalf of all of us, we're pleased to be here tonight, and we'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Are there any questions from board members? Seeing none. Anybody in the audience wish to comment on this agenda item? Please, Ramon, come to the podium, state your name for the record.
Good evening again. I'm Ramon Bermudez from Riverbank. On these millions of dollars that have been spent in order to put the prisoners in jail and have them secured, to keep them away from our society or doing more wrong than what they have done, I appreciate very much a project like this. There's also a talk about moving the jail in downtown Modesto. and also about the talk about moving the courts. I just suggest to you, plainly and safely, to put the courts closer to the jails. That way there is less transportation of prisoners back and forth. Right now there is a chance. There is no court built yet, but it's in the process. There is the plans made. Get the land over there that it belongs to the county, right off Hacker Road. Get the land over there that is for the bedding of the prisoners, and when there is their turn to go to court, they will move next door. The court is right there. There's been a lot of problems with the prisoners going back and forth. We have more likely civil matters than criminal matters, and I've been in the court a few times too, where I've been helping people for translation, etc., for moral support and other things, and we have to stop everything because there is a prisoner going on with the two guards to come from one court to another one. And that will be avoided because they have their own back door. If the guards are ready to take him in court, back out of court, back door for them. And I just think that right now there is no building or anything, then why not start planning on that, putting them together in one facility within neighborhood. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ramon. And tonight's just talking about the replacement of the Otter Farm beds, and this Board of Supervisors unfortunately has no jurisdiction over courts or where they're going to be located. Anybody else wish to comment on this agenda item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Any further clarification or a motion?
I just want to say great job again. You guys are working really hard. Mr. Duncan, I know it's going to be your baby, and to our capital project staff, another job well done, and I would move recommendation, all the recommendations.
I have a motion. Is there a second? A second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you very much.
Okay, moving on to correspondence.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports?
I'd like to acknowledge someone in the audience today, my friend Bob Weaver. He's a school board member. He's got a son, Christian, here, who actually is earning a merit badge by coming to watch a public meeting, and God forbid he go watch his own dad. So welcome. Thank you for coming.
All right. Any other board reports? Legislative Fiscal Management Report, Chief Executive Officer?
No.
Okay. Brings us to the end of the agenda. This meeting is adjourned.